Strengthen your immune system with Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C and get 10% off. Quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome once again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. I'm your host, Peter Alton, and it is a real pleasure to be able to share with you the things that I've got on my mind and my heart today. We've got a great guest coming on the show later on, not specifically about diabetes, but it's about something which many of you will suffer as well as your diabetes. So we will look into that shortly. It's a very famous guest and a real nice chap as well. You're going to really enjoy it. Well, we are in the sort of the overlap in of the end of April, beginning of May this week. And I hope you have had a fantastic April over here in the UK. It hasn't lived up to its name so far. We have not been full of April showers. In fact, it's been very dry, as my garden is a witness to it. And the fact that I bought a load of plants to put in the garden, and particularly as well, not only has it been dry, but it's been pretty clear nights sometimes and been a bit danger of having some frosts. So I've had to keep those plants covered over to keep them safe. And so far, I think we are winning. I hope you've been busy in your gardens, getting them looking nice, ready for the summer. And yeah, there have even been some days when we've actually been able to sit out and enjoy the sunshine, as long as you're in a sheltered area. I've been getting on with my garden railway. Some of you have probably heard that I am doing that. A little bit of a difficulty this week, mind you, as I managed to knock something that I had built but not finished fixing. Managed to knock it and it bent all the track in that area. So it was like one step forward and two steps back. But it was good for my patience. Not quite sure what I'll be sharing with you next week, though, because it's a bank holiday weekend coming up. And I am anticipating having several tons of topsoil delivered for me to carry on landscaping the garden. Sounds grand, doesn't it? If only you could see it. Anyway, actually, you probably will see it at some point, because last year I did do a magazine article on the things that you can learn about your control of diabetes from building a garden railway, and I just shared some of the things that I'd learned in building a garden railway and how they actually linked up with my management of diabetes. So there is an article on Health Triangle magazine, if in the backdated ones, if you go back there and have a look, you'll find that one. It was probably around about May or June last year, I think, and I'll probably be doing something similar this year. Anyway, let's get on to some of the items of news, and I'm going to go to my usual source straight away, diabetes.co.uk, because their website is full of news items, and we're looking at the last half of April, really, what we can find there. And the first one I see is active children could prevent type 2 diabetes in later life. Well, I've been trying to get my kids active. I recently bought them some new bicycles because they're all outgrowing the other ones and wearing out one of them. In fact, one of the bikes was a bit old and worn out. Having said that, since getting the bikes, there seems to be a marked reluctance to get on them. Anyway, we'll try and keep them active, particularly as when we read here, it says keeping children active and fit is more likely to improve their health in later life. Well, I think we all know that, don't we? But it is difficult to get them off their tablets and their computers and get them out doing some exercise, or some meaningful exercise anyway. Apparently, if people experience inflammation over a long term, then it can significantly increase their chances of developing type 2 diabetes. And apparently, keeping active during childhood reduces that risk of low-grade inflammation. I'm afraid I'm not going to even try to pronounce the name of the university that did this study. Do go to diabetes.co.uk's website to have a look. You probably get more hits than ever now because you're going to be wondering, what on earth is it? What's it? Why can't he pronounce it? Anyway, they said that their study showed that children who were physically more active and less sedentary had a healthier inflammatory profile than children who were physically less active. They go on to say, though, however, our results suggest that the positive effects of high levels of vigorous physical activity and low levels of sedentary time on low-grade inflammation are partly explained by their positive effects on body composition. So obviously, if you're eating healthily and you've got some decent exercise, your body composition is probably going to be better with less body fat. Anyway, have a look at that and see what you can make of it. How many of you used to watch Popeye the Sailor Man? I must confess I was never that much of a fan of Popeye, and it may have been because I wasn't too keen on Miss Spinach. But apparently, in the news, there has been a study which has shown that eating your greens, so spinach and other leafy green vegetables, can significantly benefit muscle function. And of course, Popeye was famous for his bulging biceps after he'd eaten the spinach. So maybe there's some truth in it after all. Maybe he was onto a good thing, and there is definitely some truth in that. So much so, in fact, that the trial found that there was a link between people who regularly consumed nitrate found in green leafy vegetables, and they had 11% stronger lower limbs when compared to those who hardly ate any. They also found that there were benefits in walking speeds with nitrate-rich consumption group in this study, recording 4% faster speed. So if you are a husband or wife who can't keep up with your partner, maybe you need to eat a few more nitrate-rich green leafy vegetables and you might be able to catch up with them. Certainly worth trying to get your muscles as healthy as possible, because poor muscle function is associated with a greater risk of falling over and fracturing bones, particularly, of course, as you get older. Next one's a really interesting one. Insulin pill could improve well-being of people with diabetes. A groundbreaking insulin pill has been developed, which experts say could eventually replace traditional injections for those people with insulin-dependent diabetes. The medication has been created by a team from New York University, Abu Dhabi, who wanted to find a less invasive way to manage diabetes. Sounds absolutely fascinating, the research that they're doing there. I really encourage you to take a look at it. All of those items were found on diabetes.co.uk's website, and there's many more there. We'll touch on a few more after I play this song. And I'm going to play this song now because I want to just recognize this man's life. He passed away recently, actually, just in the past month. I think it was the 19th of April. And it wasn't COVID related, I don't believe, but I believe it was actually to do with kidney failure. His name is Jim Steinman. He is the songwriter of some of my favourite songs and probably some of your favourite songs as well. If you are into rock music, then he has made a huge contribution to the music industry. And many of you will know that some of my favourite artists, and one of them is Meatloaf, the artist. But many of Meatloaf's songs were actually written by a songwriter and performer called Jim Steinman. And it's with regret that I say that Jim Steinman actually did pass away on the 19th of April this year. So we're going to play a song not only written by Jim Steinman, but also performed by him as well. And it was a very difficult choice. I mean, if I mentioned Bat Out of Hell that Meatloaf released and recorded, that was written by Jim Steinman, and that sold over 50 million copies. The song from Bat Out of Hell 2, I think it was about 20-something years later, that was written by Jim Steinman again, or a lot of it was written by Jim Steinman, and the song, certainly a difficult choice. He's written some of the most popular songs: Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell, Meatloaf's I'll Do Anything for Love, Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler, just to name a few. There's many other artists as well who have had Jim Steinman songs on their discography. Anyway, the one that I have chosen for you is written by him and sung by him, and it is called Rock and Roll Dreams Come Through. I hope you enjoy it.
There's nothing wrong with getting up.
That was a great song by a great artist, the late Jim Steinman, with When Rock and Roll Dreams Come Through. Hope you enjoyed it. We're going to progress on now with a few other items of news before we get into our interview for the day, and with a little bit of music before it's a little bit more mellow maybe. And first up is a study proves that exercise leads to greater food consumption. I'm sure that's not the case in everybody's situation. This was a fairly small trial done by the Technical University of Munich and the University of Nebraska. And they found that when people were given a certain amount of exercise to do, they tended to perhaps eat a little bit more afterwards. Professor Kohler said that the actual results suggest that physical exertion can entice those who do sport to eat larger amounts of food more quickly after the training session. And since weight loss is a main motivation for exercising for many, and failure to achieve the desired weight loss makes it likely to quit exercising, it could be a good strategy to think about what you want to eat afterwards before you start to exercise, and put in place something that's safe for you to eat, something that's healthy for you to eat, rather than just doing the exercise, feeling good, and thinking, yeah, I can manage that rather naughty, whatever it is, now. It'd be much better to back up your exercise with something healthy and not too calorific, and that hopefully will help you to lose your weight a bit. And I'm taking note of this myself, because my wife posted a photo on Facebook the other day. She caught me in the garden. I was doing something, and the way I was sitting, bent forwards and over the table whilst I was working on something, the photo, goodness me, I suppose the camera doesn't lie. But since having a bit of an injury myself, I've not been exercising. My weight has certainly increased again, and I've got to sort it out. Many of you knew I was on a diet before Christmas. It was going really, really well. Well, pretty much all of that is back on again now, plus a little bit more, I think. Yeah, please hold me accountable to making sure that I do get fit again and do lose a bit of weight again. And that is something I will put into practice. I will make sure that when I go for a run, when I do a bit of exercise, I do have a planned nibble afterwards of something healthy. As coronavirus is so important for people with diabetes, as it is for everyone, this next article is really aimed at helping you, I guess. Face mask material can significantly impact particle spread. Apparently, I didn't realize this, a submicron particle can stay in the air for hours and days depending on the ventilation. I knew it was hours, but I wasn't so sure about days. So if you've got a room that's not ventilated or poorly ventilated, then the small particles can stay there for a very long period of time. Professor Ng, I think that's how you pronounce it, NG, said, "We learned there was a lot of variability in filtration performance, even in the same type of material." He had some tips for people making masks at home, saying that any loose-knitted material should be avoided, as well as felt, fleece, or shiny reusable shopping bags. He says that making the masks at home, blackout drapery and sterilization wrap, normally used to package surgical instruments, fared well in the study. So it's really important that we wear good masks and good fitting masks as well. So the best way to protect ourselves and others is to reduce exhaled particles at the source. And the source is our face and the person opposite us, their face as well. So the more of us that wear good masks and properly fitting masks, the better. There's another study on there as well about masks and ventilation working better than social distancing. I'll leave you to check that one out. Next one's an interesting one. I don't know if you remember, we had Dr. Sanjeev Chopra on some time ago talking about the benefits of coffee. Well, there's an article here. It's not by him, but it is an article about coffee. A strong cup of coffee before physical exercise could boost fat burning. Team from Department of Physiology of the University of Granada have found evidence to suggest that caffeine increases fat oxidation, which helps people to burn off the pounds more easily. So before you go for a run, have that cup of strong coffee. And it appears that it's better to do it in the afternoon than in the morning. Another one is sun exposure linked to fewer COVID-19 deaths. We're all trying to work out how to keep safe here. Exposure to sun could help reduce COVID-19 related deaths, researchers have said. An observational study carried out by the University of Edinburgh has shown that sunnier areas have fewer coronavirus deaths. I'm not quite sure how that links up with some parts of the world that are really suffering badly at the moment. But as the summer is coming, let's hope that that is one more thing in our arsenal which is going to help against this disease. Certainly the vaccine is helping, and if you haven't had any of your vaccines yet and you're due them, if you've been called for them and you're having second thoughts, then I would urge you to consider getting that done, making sure that you are as safe as possible. It's much safer. The risks of having the vaccine are much, much less than the risks of getting COVID and getting complications from COVID. That's my Pennyworth thought for that. That's all we're going to share for this week on the news items. They're all from diabetes.co.uk. Please do go along there. You'll see some others as well there. And of course, they're uploading them all the time. I just pick on them when I come around to doing this show, pick on the ones that I find of interest and think you will find of interest. But there's probably some others there which I've overlooked, which you would find fascinating. So please do go along and check out their website and get involved with the Diabetes Forum there and see what you can learn. There's some great stuff on that website. They're a great team there. Anyway, we're going to be having our guest on shortly. Our guest is a famous athlete, and he chose this song, which is a nice chill-out song. It's by Marvin Gaye, and it's called I Heard It on the Grapevine. I hope you enjoy this one. Sure things to make me blue with some other guy. That was Marvin Gaye, and I heard it through the grapevine, as chosen by our very, very special guest on the show today. Our guest is the Olympic athlete, former Olympic athlete, I maybe should say, Colin Jackson, who, of course, is very, very famous over here in the UK. Colin, please tell us about your choice of song.
Well, I decided to choose Grapevine by Marvin Gaye. It's just a smooth record. I think that it transcends so many generations. You know, if you put it on, my grandmother would enjoy it. If you put it on, my 18-year-old nephew would enjoy it. So it's one of those records that can truly transcend generations. And who could not enjoy those tones of Marvin Gaye? Beautiful, silky, and smooth. So that's why I've definitely chosen Marvin Gaye's Grapevine.
Brilliant. Excellent. That's a very, very smooth song. Wouldn't expect anything else from such a smooth performer as you. Colin, everybody, well, many people know who you are. Certainly for myself, your name comes to mind. Whenever I think of hurdling, your name would come to mind. Not that I'm a great expert on athletics, but you're Olympic silver medalist, 2 times world champion, one time world indoor champion, 12 times European champion. And 2 times Commonwealth champion, I believe, in the hurdles. So fantastic. Great entertainment for all of us, great achievements. But that's not what we're here to talk about today, I don't think.
No, not whatsoever. Even though it's pretty nice and sweet for you to remind me of my previous career.
So please tell us, I think we were here to talk a bit about allergies and encouraging people to take them seriously. Why are you here to talk about that?
Well, you're right. I think that's one of the most important things that we're here to chat about, especially this time of the year. You know, there'll be lots of people who'll be watching the news. And certainly when it comes to the weather, you hear right at the end, they're saying, oh, high pollen. So people who suffer from hay fever, you know, et cetera, you've got to be wary of it, et cetera. And I know lots of people who don't suffer from allergies will basically just ignore it. But people who do suffer from really severe allergies, such as hay fever, such as bee stings, this time of the year is quite worrying and nerve-wracking because of the reaction and the effects that it can have on your body. Now, I myself suffer from hay fever. I suffer from both tree pollen and grass pollen. So I get hit twice, different times of the year. And it's something that is pretty, pretty dire to live with. And you can imagine when I was an athlete, for example, this is the time of the year that I'd be outside, I'd be competing, I'd be training, and I'd have to deal with this allergy that would really hamper me, my performances in that sense. I truly believe that. And even if it didn't do it physically, it certainly would do it mentally, because I would get to a warm-up environment, for example, and you'd be literally in a field and your eyes start to stream, et cetera, and it was very, very frustrating and irritating. And when you think about it, when you look at the statistics, because I'm working very closely with Clarify on this, and what we found out is that 1 in 3 Britain adults in Britain suffer from an allergy, and lots of them, actually, people don't know totally what they're allergic to. So what's been developed is this incredible little home test, which tests over 294 allergies. 294. So you can get this home test. And with this home test, you can see exactly what you're allergic to. And it takes about 2 weeks once you take the test for results to come through. And I think it's something that's really, really important. And then adding to this as well, you know, I one of my training partners unfortunately died of a peanut allergy, and he had a sandwich after training and it caused his death, and it had a massive impact on the whole of us in our training group. And you can imagine lots of us were in disbelief that just a peanut could cause the death of someone so young. He was only 21 at the time.
I was reading about that. I mean, you can't believe everything you read, of course, in preparation for this. And I believe it was like a chicken mayonnaise sandwich. It wasn't even eating a peanut. It was just the fact that there was some peanut oil in the sandwich.
That's right. It was a peanut oil that they mixed in with it to give it more body. And that's exactly what he said from it. And the reaction with that was just awful. I mean, we knew how bad he was, because even if you poured out some peanuts in a bowl and he was in the room, his breathing would go. and he'd have to tell us, you'd have to remove it from there quite quickly. And even us as athletes, first of all, we were like, oh, yeah, we've got to make sure that we've got to look after this, make sure our chocolate bars that are around and what we were offering, you know, wasn't having peanuts in. So, yeah, it was a tough time for us all. And I think we really need to bring this awareness into people's mindset every single day, I think, because it is really important to people who suffer from allergies.
Mm. Well, thanks for sharing that. So these 294 allergens, are they likely to pick up if somebody's, I know you're not a scientist, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Are they likely to pick up sensitivities early on? So, for example, I know that Ross was his name, wasn't it? He had this pre-existing allergy, which he was aware of, and he was taking all the precautions.
Yeah.
Are they likely to show up sort of early on that there might be a sensitivity to something which could become more serious later on?
Well, I would presume if you're sensitive, then that means you're having an allergic reaction. So whatever it would be the case. You know, one of the other things I suffer from is with neoprene or latex allergy. Okay. And I didn't realize that until I was putting on a wetsuit and my whole skin virtually started to crawl initially. And then I had lots of hives that started to appear on my skin courtesy of the suit. And it was the only parts of my body that wasn't in contact with a suit that stayed clean. So you can imagine then that was a shock to me. So what does that do? Well, you know, people go, oh, so you can't go scuba diving. But there's latex and in many products that we use. So this is what I'm saying about if you get one of these tests done, because all of a sudden then you'll be aware of it. And once you do suffer from some kind of allergies, you'll know what it's like. It's uncomfortable and it can be havoc on your everyday life. So you want to really, for me, I'm interested to find out the other things I potentially could be allergic to.
There's definitely a sort of link between some certain things. I believe latex even and sometimes strawberries can sometimes go together. I'm a podiatrist, so you know, now I use nitrile gloves here instead of the latex gloves. And then for yourself as well, I think it's important for listeners to know as well. It's really important. You might have a mild attack initially, but that can sensitize you to have a bigger, more serious one. You put a wetsuit on again, so maybe don't ever do that again.
It does make you anxious, because the whole of me, literally, and I'm not exaggerating, you know, my arms started to swell, and my legs started to swell, especially behind my knees, for example, became very, very, very sore quite quickly. All of my back was just outrageous. And then it's funny, you mentioned before, I was doing the show Dancing on Ice, obviously, in over the winter period of time. Mm-hmm. And I was staying in an apartment which actually had a latex mattress protector on there. And I didn't know, because obviously I had the sheet over it. And then when I got up in the morning, literally the whole of my body was just riddled with these hives. Wow. And it was so, so uncomfortable. And that could have taken me out of the show, because it was that uncomfortable. Yeah.
Wow. So that it's great now that you're getting educated to know that you need, next time you go to a hotel, to make sure they haven't got that on there. And I think that's really important for people. This is the diabetes show that we're doing here.
Yeah.
And I talk to people with diabetes about getting the sweet spot where they know what can go wrong with their diabetes. They know what their own personal risk is, and then they act upon it. And I see for most conditions that you can use that sort of analogy there. But for getting knowledge regarding allergies, where to look for the symptoms, etc., where would you advise people to go to?
Well, that's straightforward, because you can go on uk.clarify.me. And that will give you so much information on allergies. And I think what will happen once you get onto the site itself and you start to look into it, I think you'd be really fascinated to see what allergies are out there, what people do suffer from. You know, we know about the standard ones, obviously. You know, we talk about hay fever, we talk about bee stings, et cetera, nut allergy, because it comes to our attention when people unfortunately pass away from the allergies. But there are, I say, over 294 allergies that we test for on the home kit that can be provided for people. So if they go onto that uk.clarify.me, you can find out all the information you want and also order one of the tests from there too.
Okay, so that's where they get the knowledge from, and then of course they get the test, so then they know what their risk is. They know that they don't want to go eating a certain type of nut. My daughter's got an allergy to pistachio nuts, but she's never had a proper test on it. She's just avoided them like the plague because she has had a mild allergy to them. But I think actually we should get her tested.
Yeah, I mean, and this makes it really easy, because I think lots of times people think, oh, how do I get this test done? You know, how is it? Have I got to go somewhere? Have I got to, you know, but this comes to your house. It's very easy. You take a little bit of blood, you put it in, you send it away, and then they send back the results. So it's not, you know, it's not a big effort for people to do. That's why this is so good, because it's a very easy, quick test for you to do. All that we ask you to do is make sure that you're hydrated so that the blood can flow easily.
that's going to be my next question about what sort of test it is, because I think in the past people have been fearful of having to have, you know, 100 different patches or whatever patches to see what they're actually allergic to. But this sounds so simple.
Yeah, I think lots of times people, you have this kind of preconceived idea because you saw something on the TV many, many, many years ago, and you know they were there holding something like a walnut and they'd wipe it on your skin and see what kind of reaction it'd do, and then they get something else and people were terrified of that. Nope, this is a really simple, very easy one for anybody to partake in. So it is really, really easy. So a little bit of blood, off it goes, and your results come back within 2 weeks.
Cool. Okay, so we talked about the knowledge, we talked about getting the risk, and then of course there's the taking action as well. I mean, with regards to your pollen allergy, you've still got that, or have you?
Yeah, no. I still have that, and I take antihistamine tablets for that every single day.
Right.
So that's what I try to do to suppress it. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't wipe out all the problem, because I still have sniffles. And I still have a little bit of scratchy eyes, but it's nowhere near as intense as it used to be. So for me, it's, you know, it's quite easy for me to get an antihistamine tablet. When I was running, of course, you would struggle sometimes when you were abroad, and if you forgot and you couldn't get hold because you didn't understand what you were taking. And as an athlete, of course, it was pretty important. You didn't throw anything down your body. You had no idea what it was. So, but, you know, lots of times you can go over the counter and you can get some products that will certainly help you to alleviate that. And add into that as well, you know, if you go to the doctors, there are even stronger ones that they can do that can really suppress the immune system. So, yes, depending how bad you are, how severe you are with your suffering, is what you can do.
Because I know for myself, I suffer from hay fever as well. My dad gets it really bad. He's had steroids in the past for it and whatever. I used to think I get it bad because I think a lot of us suffer, especially men.
Yeah.
But I must say, I tend to not treat it as much. Like, it's almost like that's sort of natural. I can get through this without taking anything.
Yeah,
is that doing any harm? Do you know? But yeah, am I sort of being stupid by not treating it?
Well, like I say, many people live with not knowing what allergies they actually do suffer from. And, you know, that is one of the problems that we have always when it comes to men's health in particular, because men seem to be the ones that are not happy to talk about or show vulnerability in any shape or form. So that's the reason why we try and encourage people in the easiest way. You know, we try to make life as easy as we possibly can. But many people would say, I think it's over 90% people say there's not really enough research that's done, and they can't go to the right people to go and find out what is important to them. You know, so they need to get to do a test. They need to get to see who the specialists are that are linked to that. And then once you kind of got that put in mind, then you'll understand exactly what is what, you know. So get that test done, get people, and you can get in contact with the right people at the right time. To help you through this and stop being so macho.
That's brilliant. I know we're getting near the time. I think I can hear your alarm bing going off there saying time's up, probably. please just share where they can get this test from, where they can find out more again.
Okay.
You've got a minute a second, just introduce your second song as well, if you've got it.
Yeah, it is uk.clarify.me. That's where you can get all the information from, and of course, also order your kit. And for me, if we look at my second song, I'm a Welshman, so I've got to have a Welsh person somewhere along the line. So I've gone for Mercy by Duffy. Do I need to say anything else?
You don't indeed. Thank you so much for that. Look forward to hearing that. And thank you so much for your time today. And all the best with your allergies. And keep safe from that latex one particularly.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Colin. Thank you.
That was Mercy by Duffy, and that was chosen by our guest, who you've just been listening to, unless, of course, you joined us during that song. Our guest today was Colin Jackson, CBE, who was a fantastic Olympic hurdler, world champion, a European champion, etc., etc. He was an amazing athlete and an amazing guy, and I hope you enjoyed what he had to share there regarding allergies. He suffers, as you heard, from a severe pollen allergy, and he had also witnessed the unfortunate anaphylactic reaction that one of his teammates had to peanut oil, I believe it was, in a coronation chicken sandwich, which actually led to that poor man, athletes passing away. So, Colin, thank you so much for sharing that, and hopefully it will get listeners to take their allergies seriously. I do hope that you will consider maybe getting some tests done, either from the Clarify website, or if not, then maybe approaching your GP. Now, I do know that one of the things that the survey that Clarify showed was that there were very few specialists in allergies in the NHS here in the UK. Very, very few indeed for the number of people who suffer from allergies. So it can take quite a while to see a specialist. It can take quite a while to get some tests done. If you suspect that there's something, particularly if it's a more serious one, if you're getting sort of tingling in the lips and hives forming, then that's getting pretty serious. So I would encourage you to get checked out ASAP. And this is just one route that you could do it through Clarify, through a blood test yourself. Also, it's worthwhile getting used to knowing what to do in the event of coming across somebody in the public who is having an anaphylactic attack. The thing you really need to get into that person ASAP is adrenaline. So you need to get, it's a medical emergency, you need to get help, get the doctor. If you're near a doctor's clinic, go there. If you obviously call 999 first of all. But if you are, just have your thinking hat on, because you never know, you might be near a podiatrist or a dentist. As a podiatrist, I use local anesthetic. Anywhere where they're using local anesthetic, they should have adrenaline on site, because if somebody has a reaction to that injection, then you need to give them adrenaline. You might be in a crowd somewhere and you notice that somebody is having an anaphylactic reaction to something that they're allergic to. Well, yeah, obviously call the 999, but why not just shout out, anyone here got an EpiPen? It may be that the person has got an EpiPen on them. You could always ask them if they're well enough to ask or check, or you could shout out into the crowd, hey, anyone got one? Please bring it here quick. Because that could save somebody's life. Absolutely. Anyway, I hope you have enjoyed the show. Please do take good care, look after yourself, make sure you control these allergies, particularly at the moment, of course. We don't want people sneezing around just in case you've got something else up your sleeve as well, or something else in your system. Talking, of course, about COVID. We do not want COVID-ridden people sneezing everywhere. So if you've got hay fever, try and get it sorted out. Try and get something over the counter which can help you manage your symptoms. And you'll feel a lot better for it as well. It's a miserable thing anyway, just having allergies on top of having diabetes control as well. It can be particularly problematic. So please do look after yourself. Make sure you're on top of these allergies. Make sure you're on top of your diabetes. You're keeping in the diabetic sweet spot. And maybe I should christen it now with the allergy sweet spot. Just make sure you're keeping well and enjoying life. And let's hope we have some wonderful weather coming for us in May. Take good care. God bless you. Have a fantastic week. And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Alton with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot. Live in the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.